From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. This week, President Bush is expected to sign an economic stimulus package worth almost $170 billion. The federal government's plan is to split the money into tax rebates for individuals and families and into incentives for businesses. That means that by May, you could see a check for up to $600. It's the second time in 8 years that Bush has responded to a looming recession with a tax refund. Meantime, the government reported that January saw the first monthly net loss of jobs in more than 4 years. So how big of a shot in the arm will the stimulus package be, and how are poor and working class families handling the current economic downturn? Boyce Watkins is a finance professor at Syracuse University. Hi, Boyce.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. So let's talk about these rebates. There's hope that it will prevent a recession, and there have been signs that we are entering a recession. Do you think that that's the case?
Yeah, I think that, you know, for the average American to sort of hear rich, educated people tell them that there's a recession, it's sort of like standing knee-deep in water and getting a weather alert, you know, because the reality is that most Americans knew we were going into a recession when they started losing their homes, when they were having trouble paying their heating bills, when they saw health care costs go up, when they saw college education get out of control in terms of the expense. So people have felt this impact for a long time.
What does it really mean to go into a recession if you are, just break it down on a few different levels. If you're poor, if you're working class, if you're middle class, and maybe you could help us understand these terms that we throw around.
Well, a recession, there are technical definitions, and one of them is two straight quarters of negative economic growth. However, you know, these definitions become fuzzy when you talk about the new economy. For example, when you look at things like unemployment numbers, you know, it's easy to look at the raw number of jobs that are available, et cetera, but you also have to look at the number of hours people are working, the wages that people are receiving. NAFTA sort of changed that, the whole paradigm in terms of how we think about where the economy is going, because right now, basically, much of the economic growth tends to be driven by wealthier individuals. The wealthiest 5% of the country controls 58% of the nation's wealth, while the bottom 60% only control about 0.2%. So really, you have to think about that when you look at what's going on with the economy. Now, for the middle class, which might be considered people with incomes between $25,000 and $75,000, depending on what part of the country you live in, their experience with this recession has more to do with the subprime lending crisis and home foreclosures, et cetera, et cetera. The poor are sort of like my grandmother was, where she always says, you know, we didn't even know that there was a Great Depression because things never got any better or any worse for us. They were always bad. And so really, the past 10, 15 years haven't been good for poor people. And so this recession really isn't going to change much, to be honest.
What does it mean today to be working class or working poor? You know, that's one of these other fuzzy terms. I mean, there's been a lot of attention to folks who work sometimes two jobs and can barely pay their bills. Is that also a group of people who will be left without relief, or will they get something out of this stimulus package?
Well, the technical definition of the working poor would be individuals who spent the last 27 weeks in the labor force and whose incomes are below the poverty line. Are they going to benefit from the stimulus package? I don't think they're going to benefit that much in the long term in the areas that really matter. Basically, the stimulus package is designed to do one thing: to get money in the hands of poor and middle-class people so that they will spend it and throw it right back into the economy. And myself and Susie Orman and others are kind of saying the opposite. We're saying, you know what, there are long-term problems with this economy, and rather than taking that money and spending it as they want you to, defy that a little bit and actually save it or invest it or do something different with your money, because this economic downturn is really nothing compared to the pending retirement crisis that's really going to hit this country harder the next 10 years.
So you're thinking that some of the people who are right now going to have to make a choice about what to do with this check will also face much more dramatic problems down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, when you talk about retirement, most Americans are not saving properly for retirement. You know, we have really the perfect storm for a retirement crisis. The cost of health care is going up. You know, wages are going down. Pension plans are disappearing. Social Security is dying, et cetera, et cetera. And Americans aren't saving. Really, to be honest with you, when I look at the data, Americans pretty much spend their money like a pack of drunken sailors. We make a lot of financial mistakes, and we don't really plan for the long term. And my goal is really to get people, especially people of color like myself, to say, hey, let's set a new trend. Let's start actually being responsible with our money and not mimicking the irresponsible financial behavior of the federal government.
Why do you think it is that we have this culture of spending, never thinking about tomorrow?
Well, you know, I you can maybe credit VH1 for that. I don't know. No offense to them, but I don't know exactly where the culture comes from, but I do know that the culture is certainly there. The Americans have had about 16 straight years of continuous increases in consumer spending, and so really the financial party has really been going. We're building that party on the backs of our children, because much of that party is financed with debt. Whether you talk about the federal government and what they're doing with the money with the war in Iraq, et cetera, all the way down to the individual consumer who has simply been borrowing off the equity from their home to continuously afford a more lavish lifestyle through time. And so effectively, Americans are over-borrowing, they're overspending, they're under-saving, and they're under-investing. And that trend really has to change if we're going to have a good future. I personally think that in the depths of despair sort of serve as an incubator for our greatest moments if we use them in the right way.
Some people are really in those depths of despair around what's going to happen to their houses. And today, federal officials announced something called Project Lifeline. It's going to take six major mortgage lenders giving families risking foreclosure a 30-day grace period to make payments. But is that 30 days enough time for people to sort out their finances?
Well, it's certainly going to make a difference on the margin. I mean, when you're talking about a nation with 360 million people, any incremental adjustment is going to have some sort of an impact. But, the reality is that a lot of Americans are going to continue to lose their homes, and a lot of black Americans are going to lose their homes, because if you notice, the greatest home foreclosure rates tend to occur in cities like Detroit and Atlanta, major urban centers in America. And some of that is linked to the fact that many people of color don't have that cushion of wealth, that margin of error that other people in the broader majority tend to have. For example, the median inheritance in the black community is zero, whereas the median inheritance in the broader community is about $29,000 total. So the fact is that these little incentives, these little components of the stimulus package are going to have an impact, but the impact is not as strong as we might think.
We got a phone call the other day from a listener who actually wanted a better definition from us of foreclosure. Maybe you could give that to us.
Well, foreclosure is basically when you haven't made the interest payments or the necessary mortgage payments on your home or property or whatever the case may be, and the bank then has a contractual right to come in and demand that you pay the balance off in full, or they can reclaim your property. It's pretty much as simple as that. You can't make the payments. They can come in and take the stuff back. Typically, though, they don't really want you to be in foreclosure. But if you are in foreclosure, you're going to probably have to consider getting some protection from the government. And in this case, with the stimulus package, one thing that is nice about it for the working poor and for those who are homeowners, even small homes, is that there are things in place that can sort of protect the homeowner from the mortgage company, which helps the lender and the borrower at the same time.
You've mentioned several times how families of color, black families, are at risk in different rates, different ways. What exactly is the difference for black families specifically in terms of how hard this mortgage crisis and this looming recession is hitting?
Well, wealth disparity has been a huge issue in America, and people don't talk about that. When they talk about middle class, or they define themselves as middle class, people talk about income. Income means nothing compared to wealth. Income is like water coming out of the faucet. Wealth is like the big block of ice that you can use to get water from in case you get thirsty. And so effectively what happens is that the margin of error for people of color just tends to be much smaller, because there isn't as much of a legacy of wealth in your family, and also there's not as much experience managing money. Many people in the black middle class are first-generation middle class people, and I don't know about everyone else, but I know that when I became middle class, or wherever it is that I ended up, I had to reach back and help a lot of people in my family who were left behind. So effectively, the experience, the economic experience of African Americans is very different from everyone else, and that's a fact that can't be denied.
What about issues like homelessness? Do you think that as a result of this mortgage crisis, you're going to see more families either out on the street or just doubled or tripled up in a relative's house?
Yeah, absolutely. The fact is that many people who seem to be doing quite well on the outside are petrified on the inside. When FDR said we have nothing to fear but fear itself, one of the things that happens when the media starts to announce that there's a recession is people become very fearful, and sometimes it's for good reason. The reality is that no matter how well you're doing, if you don't have a cushion of wealth and you haven't been saving, you haven't been investing, then you're going to have this continued uncertainty that will really reduce the value of your lifestyle on a continuing basis. So this is really happening to everyone, and it's not just for the poor. Anybody can become homeless if you are living paycheck to paycheck.
What kind of concrete advice would you offer to someone who may not be teetering on the brink of losing their home or losing their apartment, but just you know that you got some bills paid, piled up, and you've got to watch yourself?
Well, the first tip I would give is budget, budget, budget. If you don't budget, you need to learn how to do it. If you don't know where your money's going, it's really hard to know where it went. Take stock in your financial life. Sit down and actually calculate the market value of everything you own, subtract your debt, and that's your net worth. Take a look at your retirement plans and savings plans. Set financial goals. See how much you have in your emergency account. Go out and kill a credit card right now. Find a credit card and just cut it up. Because credit card debt, the ready availability of credit card debt has really hurt all American consumers, not just Black Americans. Another tip I would have is you might want to just declare a one-month spending freeze. Just only pay necessary bills and use that extra money to do something different financially. Go to E-Trade or some site and start an investment account. Start a business. Put the money in your savings account. Just do something different with that money. Use this downturn as an opportunity for you to grow and come back as a stronger financial being than you were before.
Well, Boyce, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Boyce Watkins is a finance professor at Syracuse University. He joined us from his home office in Syracuse, and he's the author and the founder of YourBlackWorld.com.